Welcome to Thinking Out Loud, the podcast that puts you inside conversations with the most deeply passionate, intensely dedicated, and yes, the most thoughtful people in our industry. So sit back and stay tuned. They may just change the way you think.
Welcome to Thinking Out Loud, the podcast that places you inside conversations with industry influencers and innovators. In this episode, our host, Vicky Linz, flips the script to join Tracy Swedlow as a guest on Radio ITVT for a special, socially responsible edition of the podcast. So sit back and enjoy.
Hi, this is Tracy Swedlow, Editor-in-Chief of Interactive TV Today, and this is Radio ITVT. Sometimes we like to speak to people on audio who have particularly great voices, like Vicky Linz, who's on the call with us today, President and CEO of CTAM. Welcome to the show, Vicky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I mean, you know, we're just hanging out in the house making chocolate cake and bread like everybody else, right? So just working, and I'm working super hard now because we put out these Television Nation pieces, you know, which ramped up my work level, actually.
It's interesting that a lot of people are saying that somehow now that they have time to think more and do more, they are producing more, which I think is fascinating.
I think that is true for a lot of people. We have to actually do more because the main thing that we are doing all the time, you know, is producing our events. So, and it's not clear, you know, whether or not these events will actually take place in real life, IRL,
right?
You know, or online. And so there's a lot of rethinking and reassessing what you do and how to communicate to your audience. So that's what this is all about. Although we've been doing these radio ITVT recordings, God, I've been doing them since 98, I think.
Wow.
Long time. But anyway, welcome to the show. We've already started.
Thanks, Tracy. It's great to be talking to you.
I've been listening to your Thinking Aloud series, and you've been doing that for a while too, and you really sound to me like the Terry Gross of the TV industry. you have a very calming voice, so insightful, so, you know, welcoming.
I love talking to people. I'm fascinated by picking people's brains. So it's a pleasure for me to get to sit down and just talk to this spectrum of leaders across the industry, most of whom are not on the speaking circuit, most of whom are not really public voices. And so part of the appeal is to sort of listen and learn from people you normally wouldn't have the chance to hear from. And it's fun.
For everyone who's listening to our show here, you can listen and subscribe on a variety of different platforms, including Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. There's a whole number of them. So if you go to the CTAM.com website, there is a link there, I believe, where you can find out all the different things to listen to. I think the most recent one you did was with Johnny Keeling from BBC.
Yes, Johnny's the executive producer of Seven Worlds, One Planet. A very well-established, well-respected documentarian, nature documentarian, who is just full of insights and information, everything from the changing environment and ecological challenges that the world is facing to how to use technology to bring viewers closer to nature and to experience these types of documentaries differently than before. And he just really opened up and shared some of his experiences as well as his own insights and approach to trying to take viewers on a journey around the seven continents to show us their differences and their similarities and make us view the world differently.
It's such a great indulgence, or maybe it's not. It's necessary. We really need to understand that we are all in this together. But as much as I've heard that sort of tagline, we're all in this together with the animals, with nature, right? The entire planet is involved in what's going on right now, right? Everything's being affected. In fact, this reduction of pollution and things. I mean, the whole world is going to change as a result of COVID-19.
That's very true. And I spoke with Johnny way before the virus started to spread and became a news story and a life-changing event for people all around the world. But he feels very strongly about what you just said about the interconnected nature of the world and the impact that nature documentary programming can have on raising social awareness and creating social impact. And now we're all in this moment that's just, you know, beyond comprehension, where we truly are all in this together, whether we like it or not. And we're seeing it through a global lens of how it is truly one world, and it is a small world after all. And so Johnny's insights about the programming and about ecology and the environment in general are especially applicable to what we're experiencing right now.
You just made me remind myself a little bit of Strange Nostalgia, and I'm just going to indulge myself and say it out loud, which is my hard-edged father, who was an attorney, who was sort of a real man's man and sort of Frank Sinatra-like a little bit. His favorite thing to do at Disneyland was to go on It's a Small World, to go on that ride.
I'm the mom of a young boy. I've been on it hundreds and hundreds of times.
That's what Disney should do. You know, they should take people through that, like a little video ride right now, let people meander through that. Okay, so let's actually talk about CTAM a little bit, because you're the president and CEO of this very important organization, specifically for the cable industry. But it's really, you know, with this series, Thinking Out Loud, you're really reaching out to a lot more people. Tell me, let's talk to the people who haven't understood what CTAM was before, although I would assume all of our listeners here know what CTAM is, but just to refresh.
Sure. Well, I think there's a big difference between what CTAM has been and what we are today. So it's a great question, and I appreciate you asking it. You know, we've been in existence for more than 45 years and made a huge mark on the industry in so many different ways over that time. But we've also had to evolve to stay relevant and to continue to drive value and impact. And so today, CTAM just looks really different. We're not very association-like anymore. We're still member-funded, but we shifted to a corporate membership model years ago. So we no longer have individual memberships. And much to people's dismay, the CTAM Summit annual conference halted about 8 years ago or so.
They were the best party in the biz at the time.
I keep hearing that and hearing that. And in fact, when I joined CTAM in 2016, the number one question I got from people was, are you going to bring Summit back? Are you going to bring Summit back? And it's not that we don't want to, but the industry's in a different place. And, you know, we're here to serve both the industry and our members. And there just isn't an appetite for supporting something like that right now. So the answer to that one was unfortunately no. But what we have done is introduce a whole lot of other great work and a new business operating model that is very focused on developing the marketplace, strengthening the business, and building the collective brand, giving the industry a voice and strengthening our reputation in areas where individually we haven't been able to gain significant ground in that space, or where it's not appropriate for individual brands to tackle that space. And so we're very focused on actual business initiatives where we're in it with our member partners. We're doing work both for them and with them. To some degree, we operate a little bit like an agency, and we're really a very well-defined marketing organization that's focused on driving collective impact where it's going to matter most, whether that's leveraging the biggest priorities and opportunities or tackling the biggest challenges.
I mean, you have many, many companies here, Altice, Comcast, Cox, Rogers, Shaw, you know, all of the Charter and the cable content providers, right? Fox, C-SPAN, A&E, you know, Univision, yes. Viacom, and then vendors like Adobe, Neustar, Nielsen, a real cross-section of the industry, and of course, Magid. How are you providing them context in which they can speak about what they're going to do going forward, because it's very complicated right now. And with everybody turning to OTT platforms and other things and finding stuff on the internet, how are you helping them lead and grow their offerings?
So it's a two-way street. We've even branched out to engage with participating companies, Google and others, and we work with all of the streamers through our TCA tour program. And so we've actually expanded in very interesting ways. And when I say it's a two-way street, our members help us lead, by outlining what the priorities and challenges really look like for their businesses on a year-to-year basis. And then we help them lead by leaning into those priority challenges and helping to drive solutions, or by leaning into those broad spread opportunities to try to help collectively leverage those opportunities on behalf of the industry. So what does that look like? I think the best example is probably piracy, because piracy impacts everybody's bottom line. It's a $50 billion plus economic challenge for the entire industry. And there was a lot of really incredible work being done in the technology space, in the policy space, but no one was tackling it from a consumer perspective or from a marketplace perspective. And so that's where CTAM comes in. We're looking at it in terms of being able to educate and inform consumers who will then make better informed choices about where and how they consume their content and what content they choose to consume. And if we move the needle just in a small way, it's a significant impact to the industry's bottom line overall. And as I said earlier, it impacts everybody's bottom line. So pulling together to put the cumulative weight of our resources and our interests against an effort like that can actually drive really meaningful economic results for the industry. And that's just one example of the type of work that CTAM's doing. So we've launched a consumer portal. It's called streamsafely.com. And there's a series of educational vignettes that are posted along with articles and information. We want to make consumers aware of the risks that are associated with consuming pirated content. What most people don't realize is that they're exposing their personal data and their technology infrastructures to malware and to people who honestly are just criminals. But the other part of this, Tracy, is really interesting. Those criminals, quote unquote, very often appear to be incredibly legitimate businesses. So consumers aren't even necessarily aware that they're consuming pirated content. So there's an educational aspect to this as well that's just trying to illuminate the problem and the challenges associated with the problem, and most importantly, the risks for consumers in that space. Also, though, from a business perspective, getting the marketers to understand that even though these pirated businesses are not legitimate businesses, they are absolutely legitimate competitors. And so if we're not keeping them in consideration for how we're approaching defending ourselves from the competition, then we're missing an important challenge that's out there in the marketplace. So CTAM is looking at business opportunities through a consumer lens, from a marketplace perspective, and trying to help the industry lead and solve and build value.
You've created a sort of a gated community inside which they can discuss these critically important issues.
We have. And you know, this goes back to CTAM's roots. You know, over the years, we were always about bringing everyone all together. The reasons for that have varied over time. We used to try to bring people all together so they could do deals with each other. And then we brought people together so they could share best practices and illuminate the gold standard marketing being done in the industry. Today, we bring people together to roll up their sleeves, sit at the table, talk about the business, share information to the degree that it's legally allowed, and literally work together to either solve these problems or leverage these opportunities to everyone's advantage. And we're one of the only places in the industry where that continues to happen. And so the value of that space where CTAM exists continues to be incredibly valuable and also really impactful. And then just to jump back to your earlier question too about, so how do we, you know, at a time where the industry seems to be pulling everybody apart and people are running into their respective corners to try to go direct to consumer and give consumers exactly what they want, and collaboration seems to be diminishing, I will tell you that when we start with the consumer and you take a consumer first view and you start to back out of what that looks like when you're tackling a challenge or trying to add some value, it doesn't take very long before you find the sweet spot of opportunity where everyone needs to be all in together. the consumer is truly in the driver's seat like never before. And that really impacts the way we're all making business decisions. And so CTAM today is a very consumer-centric marketing organization. And by keeping the consumer due north, then we all tend to work on very similar priorities, driving, building value together and driving solutions together that give consumers what they want. And that's where CTAM has become incredibly adept at creating win-wins. And so that's part of how we do what we do, and part of why all these leading organizations come back to sit at this table with us, because it's a really important place to be.
In this particular time when everyone's facing the coronavirus shutdowns, shut-ins, it's almost like a research opportunity we've never seen before, right? There's so many more people streaming. I know that you had some research done or from Hub Entertainment Research, and of course we've worked with them many times. They've spoken or moderated panels, John Giegengack, that where you have here the Gen X and Millennials are adding new subscriptions about 24%, Gen Z is 28%. They expect to add new subscriptions while quarantined. Everybody's streaming more, the VOD, the cable industry, everybody's seeing a gigantic leap in viewership. This is well established now, but this is an incredible like crucible. It's like a research environment that is would be such an incredibly interesting opportunity. How are you able to tap in to what's happening now and feed that back to your members and having those conversations? And I know you're also interested in password sharing and the fact that there are many more children at home all day using their parents' platforms or sharing it with their friends. And I mean, it's such a big mess, but it's an interesting time to view how people are actually using TV in new ways. I asked like 3-4 different questions in there, so I hope you can.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in there, but okay. I want to start with the research, because CTAM is really unique in that we have a very central role within the industry, which gives us an incredible 360-degree landscape view of what's going on. And, you know, we have the leading companies in the industry in our ecosystem, and they are doing remarkable work and have tremendous insights into what's happening, not just today, but I'll talk about it in the context of what's happening today with COVID-19. We have a number of research members who have done incredible studies and ongoing studies and engaged with us early on to share perspectives, insights, ideas. And as we started to put the pieces together, we realized there was a much broader view of all of this research. And if we put all the pieces together, then the overall view that we're able to give our members is much more complete and much more informative and very specific to the opportunities and challenges that the industry is facing at hand. And so we worked with HarrisX and Hub and Magid and several of our other research members to do exactly that, to tap into their research studies. Horowitz is another one, to tap into their research studies, not only to cull out highlights, but to also formulate a narrative around what is happening within the consumer universe today that's most relevant to our members' businesses. And we've created a resource center of these research studies, of these research highlights. We've categorized them to make them both easily accessible and just naturally intuitive to our members. And so what are consumers looking for? The increased demand on networks? What type of content shifts are we seeing? And sort of big picture categories and how they apply to the industry. And then on top of that, we layered a CTAM perspective, a point of view to say, here's what we believe is going to be important in the days and weeks to come. And this is a rolling resource that continually will get updated as these member companies continue to feed us with this incredible work they're doing. And as we weave it through the information that we're getting from our members about what they're seeing in their businesses. And then CTAM is uniquely positioned to put it together in a way that formulates a much more complete perspective and view for the membership, which is of great value. And so again, it's this concept of collective impact and CTAM bringing people together in ways that they would not come together otherwise, and then creating value within that ecosystem to give the industry lift. And in this case, the lift is more insight, better information to help inform their consumer strategies, their marketing strategies, their reactions and responses to this crisis as it continues to unfold. Because as we know, every week is just a completely different perspective.
You know, in the past, cable used to be the only way you could get online distance learning, learning universities and things like this. And I miss all of that. And I'm kind of curious if anybody in the cable community is looking at this as a new opportunity, a new business offering, because I know all of these kids who are at home are turning to Google Classroom and Zoom and all these other services that are kind of, you know, not interconnected. I'm very curious, have you heard any rumblings about that, any interest in looking into the education market as a new offering?
Well, as you know, the cable industry has always been a leader in the education field and in the online offerings. I think the most important perspective that I've seen through this past month or so of the crisis really starting to escalate is the importance of the consistency of providing fast, reliable internet service. And in hand with that, expanding it to create greater access, especially to low-income households and families with students at home right now. I mean, we just have to understand that the inequality of how the situation is playing out across people's lives is dramatic. Mm. And so to the degree yes. that the industry can leverage its resources to help sort of flatten that curve, well, we're all doing our social part to flatten the virus curve. If we can flatten the inequality curve a bit and give students the opportunity to learn online and give families the opportunity to stay safe while staying connected, that's huge. And I just don't think that we can overstate the significance of that enough.
I know that there's obviously an interest in upping your connectivity, your broadband. I think you had some research here from ShareTracker. Nearly 1 in 5 consumers are planning to upgrade their internet service for higher speed in the next 30 days, with 18% expecting to upgrade or switch for increased speed. I think that's all true, but I also definitely, like you said, I am concerned about the people who aren't going to be able to afford all of that, people who are having to prioritize how they use their money, and yet they still need to get their kids educated. I mean, you know, what can you say? I wonder if the cable industry is opening their minds to that situation and figuring out a way to work with that to flatten that curve, you know, to flatten that pain point.
You know, and a number of ways, right? We've expanded access, and as I said, especially targeting the low-income households, families with students. All of our leading member companies have signed the FCC's Keep America Connected pledge to reassure consumers that they're going to stay connected throughout this outbreak. The industry has rallied to make a $100 million plus commitment in PSA inventory through June. We can't take that too lightly because that is educating consumers on the importance of staying home to stay safe, but it's also rolling messages that get updated as the outbreak evolves so that we're keeping people currently informed. And that's really important, along with keeping them connected. We've opened Wi-Fi hotspots. You know, we're pausing data plans. We're doing all kinds of things to make sure that fast, reliable internet service stays consistent and expands its access as much as possible through this crisis to help as many Americans. I mean, Tracy, you know as well as I do, there are more than 17 million broadband homes and businesses who subscribe to, you know, broadband delivered service by cable providers. That's mm-hmm. a huge portion of the country. And so if we step up and ramp up our efforts to do even more than what we normally do for customers at this point in time, then this industry is making a huge impact to the country staying connected. And right now, I think connectivity matters more than ever from a very practical standpoint, but also from a social standpoint. When I first dialed into the call, you were chatting and you were saying how you speak to your family every Sunday. And that's become more important for that video chat that you're doing, because right now you can't jump in the car and just go visit them. And so when you look at the personal challenges people are facing right now, I think that we have to understand the importance of connectivity, and the industry is doing a really impressive job of delivering that connectivity in very significant ways.
I've seen this somewhere else, that I'm actually visiting with my family more than I ever did. You know, my disparate family, people live in different parts of the country. You know, we would only get together for every several years, you know, in a reunion. Now we're doing it every Sunday, right? And it's amazing. And if we didn't have this kind of bandwidth that we have, it wouldn't be possible. And all those symphonies that are creating, you know, a piece, like I saw like 20, 30 musicians doing Le Bolero, you know, all at the same time. It's amazing.
I mean, personally, I feel that I am talking to individual people on the CTAM team more frequently than before. I think that the nature of the way we're working right now, our meetings have obviously all gone virtual, but we're also having one-off conversations with each other more, because you have to become more effective at driving work outside of those virtual meetings. And we're not just running down the hall or stopping in the kitchen to chat. And so you have to make a concerted effort. And those conversations tend to be a little bit deeper, which is fascinating to me. And I think that, you know, my personal hope is that when we do come through this, and at some point we will come through this and out the other side, and no one knows what the other side is going to look like. We all know that we'll be mm-hmm. changed forever. But I personally don't believe that those forever changes need to be all bad. I think a lot of good will have come from this. And I don't mean to downplay the impact and the devastation and the loss that people are experiencing. But I do think that when we move forward, there will be some good things we take with us. And I hope that they look like you talking to your family more and me being more directly connected to each of my employees rather than just the team as a whole. Those are good things that we should try to hold on to.
Speaking of watching more or talking to other people more, do you have a sense of what are some of the programming trends that are happening out there? Have your members discussed what they're seeing? I mean, I know, of course, that the sports industry is not available. And so, you know, they're replacing that with other types of sports content. I mean, I'm asking too big of a question right now, because everyone's got a different point of view. But I'm kind of curious if you've heard any insights.
It is a big question. And there are some content insights in the research that's on our resource page. I don't pretend to be an expert on what the ratings are showing right now. Obviously, live news is huge and seeing a bump like never before. I've also seen a lot of press around how, unfortunately, there's not a revenue correlation to that, because advertisers have pulled back so dramatically. And so viewership is way up, but advertising's way down. So the industry is dealing with business model shifts through all of this, just like every other industry everywhere. I do think in general, people are looking for entertainment and escapism more than ever. And so a lot of the, you know, sort of top picks and highly rated programs are seeing a resurgence of people who didn't get around to watching them the first time and they're watching them now, or people who enjoyed them so much the first time are going back to visit them again now. I think consumers are trying to go down their checklist of things they've always wanted to watch and not found the time, and they're finding the time now. And we do know that people's viewership is up, but their screen time is up overall, right? Their lives are lived through screens right now more than ever. And that just sort of brings me back to that connectivity point. The other thing I think is really important to mention from the content perspective is that The content providers are stepping up in big ways. Not only are they trying to share information and keep people informed, but they're also doing a lot of fundraising. So you see really great events starting to be created, virtual events and charity events starting to be created that are going to try to funnel some resources towards being part of the solution of how we get through this COVID-19 crisis. You know, I think just recently ABC, NBC, CBS announced a global special hosted by a number of comedic talent that's going to be focused on the challenge. Amazon is streaming the Fleabag stage show for charity. I mean, you see all kinds of things starting to happen that's geared towards becoming part of the solution, but also giving people a feel-good way to engage with content and sort of participate in this bubble of time that we're all existing in that's just different than our regular lives.
I know this is not an American service, but the National Theatre in the UK is streaming a play, or the opera in New York City, Lincoln Center. I think they're streaming operas every day or something like that. I mean, everybody is trying to figure out a way to provide content and to be remembered. I think that's the key thing, right? Is you don't want to go dark, and you want to be visible, you want to be heard, and you want to communicate with people around the world. And I think that is great that CTAM, through your Thinking Aloud podcast, perhaps, and your efforts are keeping people together and getting them to talk. There's so many great shows here, by the way. If you want to go check out Thinking Out Loud, it's on Spotify. And maybe you'll be doing some more shows like this to ask people similar questions, perhaps, about from their perspective, how they're handling this.
Absolutely. We've got some wonderful interviews already, you know, in the can, ready to go, and some others lined up. And just like everyone else, we're shifting gears a little bit right now, trying to figure out what the conversations are that people really want to hear the most during this unusual period of time. But, you know, some things about the business don't change. And so there are always great conversations to be had by visionary leaders who are thinking about things differently or in important ways that we can all learn from. And those are the guests that we're always seeking to find. I don't want to come across as too Pollyanna, but, you know, you talking about these streaming operas, I would call that a bright spot. And when we shifted to work from home at CTAM, I introduced something I called Bright Spots and encouraged everyone. I started realizing that every now and then something would come across my screen or happen in my life, or I'd see it out my window that would make me just stop and smile. And I realized that it was a whole bunch of different things. I mean, I would see something that a brand was doing and I would think, wow, that's so cool. I am really impressed with what this company is doing to help the world in need right now, or to help their consumers in need right now. It was, you know, a story of my son shifting to a virtual learning situation, or a joke that my husband and I shared, or the forsythia bush outside my home office window going into full bloom totally unexpectedly one day. And I just went, wow, that's beautiful. And I realized that, you know, going through all of this darkness, which can really start to pull us down when the news day after day is just so depressing, and the business challenges are really big, that we should start to share bright spots. And so on a regular basis now, I've got the CTAM team. Whenever you experience one of these stop and smile moments, share it with us. Doesn't matter if it's big or small or intelligent or funny or simple or, you know, whatever it is. And by sharing our bright spots, not only do we get to know each other better, but we're also kind of lifting each other up every day, because the bright spots are what make us smile through all of this. And I find that inspiring. And I think it helps the team to realize that, you know, clouds have a silver lining. The sun shines through clouds. I don't want to sound Pollyanna, but the way teams work together often dictates the effectiveness of those teams. And I'm really proud to sit with a team of people who are as talented and committed and focused as CTAM is in continuing to drive collective impact during a really challenging time. And that's both within our team and with our members and within our ecosystem. And so I think the bright spots, you just sharing one with all of us, really matter. And I think we all need to try to do that a little bit more throughout all of this, so it doesn't become too much of the daily drudge of trying to get down your checklist and stay focused on what has to get done.
Well, that sounds great. I know we always appreciate having you guys participate at our conferences, TV of Tomorrow show. So, and I hope that more bright spots get communicated through your podcast series, Thinking Out Loud. We definitely need to hear about the positive things going on in the world. There are some interesting developments like SGN, Some Good News by John Krasinski. I don't know if you've seen that yet. You must go check that out. It's on YouTube. It would be great to have the cable industry come out and do something, maybe, like you said, like a charity or a program or something like that. I'm kind of curious what the upfronts, new fronts, whatever they're called these days, are going to do. It'd be amazing if that community, if the advertising community, made what they're doing more transparent, perhaps made it programming available to the world. I'm just sort of thinking out loud myself.
We love thinking out loud at CTAM.
Okay, sounds good. What are you watching, and anything that you want to share that cheers you up?
Actually, I've been watching a lot more content with my son, who's 13, because obviously we're all home together. And so I have revisited some fabulous, you know, older movies that I hadn't seen for a while that he's become interested in. But he's also really into sketch comedy. And there are lots of comedians on YouTube who he has ferreted out. And he's got us watching a lot of laughter-inducing fluff right now, which is a wonderful escape for the family. And then a lot of his favorite YouTubers are in the innovation space, scientists and techies and creators, makers. And so I've also really been creatively inspired by him, because he's got me learning a lot from these thinkers and these doers. And then I take that away and try to apply it. So that's sort of, you know, that's our family space right now. And we're still early enough in this curve that we're not yet driving each other nuts. We're still having a good time with being home together more.
That sounds lovely. I have a daughter who's 12. Maybe they can get together sometime in the future to meet each other. Okay, well, thank you so much, Vicki. I really appreciate your sharing your life with us, your insights, the work you do at CTAM, and hopefully we'll all get together in real life somewhere. But I'm sure we'll speak together in the future some more. Be sure to go to ctam.com to find Thinking Aloud all of the various places you can subscribe to it, and to check out the work that they're doing.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Tracy. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
This is Tracy Swedlow, Editor-in-Chief of Interactive TV Today, co-producer of the TV of Tomorrow show and Television Nation. Be sure to go tvotshow.com or itvt.com/podcast to subscribe to this radio show, Radio ITVT. Thank you.
Hope you found this Thinking Out Loud conversation interesting and perhaps even thought-provoking. There are more on the way. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.